House and Storm's House. It's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
Yo no soy marinero, soy capitan.
I've got my nautical-themed Pashmina Afghan. I am Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we're going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average.
Live, mofos!
As you can tell, we are probably not at Storm's house or Paul's house because neither of us lives on a ship. It is Saturday, February 25th, 2012. We are presently on Holland America's Westerdam.
And I have absolutely no idea what number podcast this is, because I don't even know my own name at this point. All that I know is free food.
It is podcast 100 and blah, blah, blah. And
we'll fix that in post.
Yeah. Today's podcast is special for many reasons, not just because we're on this gigantic ship and we've been eating and drinking more than anybody should for a week, but we have some special guests.
As a matter of fact, we do. We want to roll right to the special guests, I think. I agree, right?
Well, first let me ask, are there any regular podcast listeners?
When we say that, we mean to our podcast.
Our podcast. Okay. That's
don't excellent. You patronize us. We've seen the download statistics. Was that all? Or were you taking
a
further survey?
All. I was just curious. Or is this morbid curiosity? See what would happen.
Just wanted to hear a little bit of applause and woo.
Yeah, more wooing is
all necessary. Right. How about puppies and kittens, ladies and gentlemen? Okay, let us swing right into our special guests. This is a new one-time, maybe not the only time, but certainly the first-time feature
of the podcast. It's one-time for now.
One-time for now. New-to-you feature. We are designating our own... another thing that has been missing besides our catchphrase is we need some color commentary. We need an Ed McMahon. So we would like to invite our good friend Joseph Scrimshaw out onto the stage. Joseph, you may sit near, but not too near us.
Proximate. Yes!
Joseph has been fully authorized over the course of this podcast. Should anything particularly pithy or funny be said, he is fully authorized to declare a hi-yo.
Hey-o!
And he is also, he is the arbiter of if anything constitutes a genuine burn. At which point... Should a burn be declared, we would like this entire room to turn into Showtime at the Apollo. We want falling out. We want screaming. We want the Sandman to come out and sweep us off the stage.
We want you to dislocate your shoulder doing this.
And if there's a clatch of 6 or 7 people who wants to stand down front and do the Cosby Gang falling out, we would appreciate that. You just organize yourself for that.
Doing it all week so far. Why stop now?
Yeah.
But speaking of special guests, it is time for this to become an interview podcast. And we would like to invite out onto the stage the previously mentioned before the podcast started, sorry listeners at home, three wonderful, funny, and popular webcomic artists, Joel Watson, Rob Denblaker, and David Willis. Please come to the stage.
Welcome, gentlemen.
Good boat to you. Good boat.
Good boat.
Good boat.
Good boat.
Good boat.
Let's start things off. For those of you who are not familiar with these gentlemen, we have asked them to each give a 3-minute personal biography and introduction to who they are.
Because we are lazy hosts.
And we will be timing them. Here's the degree of difficulty. We have authorized them to interrupt each other's biographies. And so, Joel Watson, you're first. Go.
Oh, my God. Joel Watson, internet comics. Doctor Who. T-shirts. My name is Joel Watson. I make an online comic called Hijinks Ensue. It is about... clapping. It's about geek pop culture. For the next week, it's going to probably be about pictures I took on this boat. Anything to keep me from going back to work is what I'm looking for. I make jokes about the TV shows and the movies that you watch. I do it full time. I live off of T-shirt monies, delicious, delicious T-shirt monies, and convention monies. And that's... Oh, that was like 10 seconds.
You don't have to fill the 3 minutes. You could just sing a little.
Pixels. That's about it, Paul. That's what
we'll get to the questionings later.
Okay, you'll cede the remainder of your time to the gentleman on either side of you. Okay, let us hit reset. Rob Denblaker, go.
Hey, I'm Rob. I write a comic called Cyanide and Happiness.
Choke.
I've been doing it for about 7 years, and like most cartoonists, I spend most of my time selling offensive T-shirts to children, evading taxes. I have a tax haven in Aruba.
That's actually what we're doing on this trip.
Yeah.
Not only is it a write-off, but we had to make a large deposit in Aruba, so.
Hey-o!
Already paying dividends with the scrimshaw.
And yeah, that's me.
Of course, it was a rum deposit. We only traffic in rum. We are both paid and pay in rum.
Rum deposit is the name of my Jimmy Buffett cover band. Hey-o!
Oh!
Come on, give it up. What do we got?
Hey!
That in itself was a burn.
I don't like this game anymore.
You can't force the McMahon. You can't do that.
These are your rules, gentlemen. Abide by them now.
Okay, David Willis, go.
All right, I have 3 projects.
Blah, 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 blah.
Nobody interrupts anybody.
Blah, 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 blah.
I know you're jealous.
Blah, blah, blah.
That's not so much interrupting as just being an asshole.
And you've come to the core of our relationship.
Interruption is more of an art form,
okay,
I find.
Sorry.
Now you've all learned Watson's Law, which is be an asshole.
Yeah. To David Willis.
All right, 3 projects. I do a short pact. I've been drawing that since... Whoa. I've been drawing that since 2005. I also do Dumbing of Age, which is about college. I've been drawing that since 2010.
A lot less enthusiasm for that one.
It's new.
Yeah,
because there's so many college kids who can afford a week-long cruise.
Just this crowd
Yay,
has very
school.
Bad memory.
I love school. I also draw a comic for the Transformers Collectors Club magazine called Recordicons. It's about the little cassette tape guys that pop out of Soundwave's chest.
As a niche within a niche, within a niche, within an enigma, within a chest of a robot. I'm sure it'll appeal to all of you.
What kind of comics do you draw?
Only 2 levels of niches.
All right.
Come on.
So
mainstream.
Are you still got a minute and a half if you have any more to fill?
I've been doing comics since 1997, and I'm old.
David actually predates the internet in terms of webcomics. Yeah. And no joke, it's very strange.
So you just like drew comics and tried to shove them into the floppy drive of your TRS-80?
My first website was a GeoCities site.
Oh. Wow. Did you have the animated flame? Did you have Flash? I mean,
no.
flashing text?
Nope.
Not Adobe Flash, flashing text, the real Flash.
No, I think even then that
read
was still
comic,
Photoshop.
Read comic.
Okay, if that's the end of that, my first question is actually for Rob and Joel. Why are you two so much lazier than David, who has like 3 projects running?
Good question.
What is your deal?
I can answer for Rob, and I'll let Rob answer for me. Rob can be so much lazier because he has 3 partners that also draw comics, so he does a massive, hang on, ladies, 2 comics a week. Two, count them, 2. Ugh. Stick figure comics a week.
Copied and pasted stick figures.
Copied and pasted stick figure comics a week. The art's been done for years, literally for years. So, you know, it's like take a shower, come up with a pun, internet millions. So
I can't answer for Joel.
Oh, okay, go ahead, David. I'll allow it.
He takes like 8 hours to draw a single strip. Mm.
So it appears as laziness to the outside observer is what you're saying.
No, it just means you need to get off your ass.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that writing comic strips traditionally has not been a rock star profession.
Do you prefer them to be referred to as comic strips, or is that strictly a print media reference?
That feels weird. That feels kind of dirty, like you're touching me in the wrong place. But yeah, go whatever you want to say. I would say comics. I would just say comics.
Okay, you're entertaining comic frames. Mm. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay.
Sequential art.
When drawing your online graphic novels.
Yes. Penalized page funnies.
Intercomic okay. Them.
So your digitized ink-looking shenanigans.
When you dick around with pen and ink.
That's our inside term.
Not traditionally a rock star medium. Mm-hmm. However, it is becoming one, I would argue. You think about the traditional, Charles Schulz, Bill Watterson, these folks that maybe live in an out-of-the-way town, maybe live in a shack.
Well, Charles Schulz doesn't so much live anymore.
He lives in an out-of-the-way town.
That we call, yes.
Out-of-the-way town. It's down there. At the bottom of the ocean, what?
Did they bury him at sea?
Yes.
I didn't know about that.
It's a traditional cartoonist.
It was burial. To keep people from tearing apart his body when they came back to America.
Now I'm thinking about zombie Charles Schulz.
Rising out of the deep.
You know, he doesn't shake anymore as a zombie than he did as a human, so.
Yes!
Good grief.
Partial Schulz burn.
So, as all of our conversations tend to come down to the internet, certainly the fact that you're no longer as an artist or and funny person dependent on a newspaper to publish you, it's obviously made it easier to connect with audiences. Do you also find? I mean, have you guys done a lot of events together? Do you have a clatch at this point? Do you feel like rock stars?
Every great once in a while. Yeah. I think Rob maybe more so than me, because Rob is somebody that when we go to conventions, and we do run pretty much the same circuit. We do the same 10 or 12 conventions a year. And
we live in the same city, but I only ever see him in different
states. In different states, actually, yeah. Rob lives about 20 minutes from my house, and I see him 6 times a year.
Those are the terms of the restraining order, I believe.
Correct. Correct. I have an ankle monitor that's going crazy right now. Rob's comic has about, 10 to 15 times the readership that mine does. So when we go to conventions, I see, the average 35-year-old-ish person with maybe a job and a family who will give me money for a thing. And Rob has 10,000 14-year-olds with no money and with sad eyes that want things for free. So
you just described the internet perfectly.
I did. But I see some of my peers be treated more like rock stars with like the big kitty eyes and the tears streaming when the children see the people that make their dick jokes and.
The thing is, as internet cartoonists, like, we're celebrities, internet celebrities, but we're also faceless celebrities, unlike you and Paul here.
I put my face on everything.
At conventions, I'll often, take a 30-minute break and have one of our booth helpers sit in for me, and, nobody knows the difference, because I can't draw.
Now, do you like that? Do you like that you are famous and earning your keep doing your craft, but at the same time, you don't have the horrible crushing press of fame that someone like a Paul Saborian
has. Oh, the curse of Paul and Storm, yes.
Right. Yeah.
The Saborian curse.
Oh, God, don't get me started.
It is nice, but I've never seen the other side of it. I mean, I haven't gotten the chance to go around with, a really convincing Tom Cruise mask and, seen the other side of it. So, but it is nice to not have people recognize it.
It's a thing I realized about 3 or 4 years into this, that it is uniquely nice feeling to have someone treat you like you're special and important and a celebrity and then be able to walk away from it. That's something that I think that most actual celebrities would give up if they could still or would want if they could still keep their millions.
Yeah,
it's nice to be recognized at Taco Bell by the cash people.
By the cashiers at Taco Bell, yeah.
Well, that's just because you're there every single goddamn day.
Yeah.
Your usual,
oh,
Mr.
Paul.
Willis.
Oh, Paul,
Dorito Taco
do.
Shells win.
The last person alive in America checking in on Foursquare is David Willis at a Taco Bell.
By show of hands, how many of you, since there are so many of you, imagine, was it a dream to be a drawing web funny art guy?
I don't understand
Raise
that
your
question
hand, Joel.
At all.
Raise your hand, Joel.
Let me interpret for my friend.
Thank you. What is Coco telling us with his sign language?
Coco say, good, good, draw, computer.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I believe okay. that Storm was okay. just called a monkey, and I think that does qualify as a burn.
Storm monkey.
Did each of you set out to do comics? Or did it just happen?
David,
because...
let's start with you. All right, so anyway. that sigh is more telling than you'll understand.
Define set out. I mean, I've been drawing comics.
Did you want to be a professional cartoonist when you were a little stupid baby?
Yes.
Okay.
I assumed I'd be in newspapers, but, you know, putting them on the internet and eventually making money through ads and stuff like that was not something I really, you know, foresaw.
Yeah.
Was it generally always comics, or was there ever a time like, I want to be a serious artist or caricaturist at Six Flags? Or
well, I undug, like, this sheet from my kindergarten that says, like, you know, what I want to be when I grow up, and what it said on there was basketball player.
A magical robot!
Which is basically the same likelihood, yes.
I want to be Batman who's best friends with Wolverine!
But yeah, I mean...
And, like, below that in the levels of probability is, like, cartoonist. I can definitely achieve this before internet cartoonist, because there's not even an internet. It's not a real thing yet.
But were there particular comics that you enjoyed and said, I would love to do what they do?
The same answer everyone always gives, yeah. You know, Peanuts, Blue
Calvin
County,
Hobbs.
Calvin
yeah.
and Hobbes.
Kathy.
Luann.
Kathy, Luann.
Hey, so
only High and Lois.
Lockhorns.
The old Lockhorns. Oh, man, what a description of the American condition.
I love Arlo and Janice. I have to admit that out loud at some point. I love...
When you look into it, Cyanide and Happiness is really nothing more than Blondie with swear words.
Yeah, and less sandwiches.
Yeah. Well...
Fewer sandwiches, Joel.
Fewer sandwiches.
Fewer.
Yeah.
Smaller sandwiches. Yeah, when I was in third grade, my mom would bring home...
Did you say 30 grade?
When I was in third grade.
Okay.
My mom would give me...
She was held back a while.
She would take legal paper and fold it over and staple it, and I would just draw comic books for fun and give them to my friends.
Were these also stick figures?
Yet you never learned how to draw. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. Seems like you'd had time to practice.
So I was giving away comics for free from a young age, so I guess I was primed for web comics.
But he was cutting out coupons from the magazine and gluing them to the... There's ads! Nabisco might pay me someday for these.
Just cut out a little picture of a bra.
Yeah.
That's why I cut those out.
Harper's Bazaar, baby. They'd show a boob like once a year, and I'd hold onto that magazine for a long time. Okay, so... Yeah.
Is there such a thing as a self-burn?
I think so. I think that was a sad burn.
Okay,
that gets out slow motion.
Oh, one boob.
Really? They only showed one boob?
Yeah.
Two
makes it porn, I think. I'm serious.
It's a shame there's not like a place, like a computer place that you could go and see zillions of them.
There wasn't when I was like nine. They didn't have that back then. We take these boobs for granted is what I'm saying. We used to have to hoard Harper's Bazaar ads. Okay, so I wanted to be a cartoonist probably from the time I was five, and I took this strange arc of wanting that, making my own comics, stapling things, Xeroxing them, giving them to the friends, then to learning that it was impossible to be a professional cartoonist, and completely giving up on that dream for like 5 or 6 years.
Quitter.
Yeah, no. Well, it was. I read an article from the National Cartoonist Society, which is. It would be like if.
Are that the ones like draw Tippy the Turtle and you could earn money?
Yeah, kind of. Sort of.
Once again, we've described the internet.
Yeah. If you take one of those drawing tests, like draw Tippy the Turtle and then, you know, draw a dinosaur or whatever, and you just draw dicks all over it, they don't respond? They don't. I think you go into a database somewhere.
Certainly a watch list, yes.
Yeah. So I read this article from the National Cartoonist Society, and it was, which is literally like eight dudes, and Jim Davis is one of them, you know. And so it's like there's prestige, but they have long since gone the way of the drawing dinosaur. And they had an article. It was like, we get 10,000 submissions to newspaper syndicates a year, and of those, we wait for someone to die. And then we add one. You know, basically, there's no space left. There's been no space for a very long time. And because of that, I was like, oh, well, this is impossible. I should focus my efforts elsewhere. I decided to become a rock star. And of those two careers, I somehow ended up with the less likely one, the more impossible of the two.
Yeah, like I said, I've been drawing comics like in the margins of my homework, like since I was in like third grade.
Two plus two equals a penis.
And I learned how to draw from the how to draw Garfield vein, like where it would be like draw a circle and then finish drawing Garfield.
Is that why all your characters look like Garfield?
Yeah, pretty much.
First draw a circle, then draw the rest of Garfield.
I stopped at the circle. That's why I yeah. stayed with stick figures.
So Odie was a rectangle for a long time.
So, Paul and I were talking about this topic backstage. As internet musicians, we found that people sharing our music is a benefit. We're not in the Lars school of we want a dime for every time our song is heard.
That's
general,
very good.
Is it the same for you guys? Do you get frustrated sometimes if something is posted on, say, Reddit, and you are not credited? End of question.
Or have you taken steps at this? I know at least I see, you know, Side Night and Happiness a great deal on Reddit, and you I don't know how long ago you took the step to just go ahead and watermark all of your work.
Actually, that's kind of how we became big. We had like a few dozen readers, and then one day we decided that people were like taking our comics and rehosting them on MySpace. So we thought like, why not?
Heyo!
you guys remember MySpace?
Explain what MySpace is for some of the audience.
It's kind of like GeoCities, but
it's like steampunk for the internet. It's harkens back to a day long past.
Yeah. Facebook with more animated GIFs and music and
sparkly stuff. Lots of sparkles.
And yeah, there was kind of a regime, kind of a shift across the internet from people thinking that we have to hoard our content and we don't want it to be leached by anybody else because that kills our bandwidth. And then something happened in like 2005-ish where bandwidth became kind of cheap.
Essentially free.
Yeah. So it became a good idea to let people leech your images as long as like your title was on there and your URL and stuff. And we put a little thing that said, copy this to your MySpace by clicking here. And like that's how we started to become big.
Yeah, the only kind of stealing I don't like is where they like take your entire website, take all the like ads off, and then put on their website with their ads. That is not nice.
That's not nice at all. And then that's called slurping, which is the least respectable term. It is. That form of
gross.
That form of stealing is called slurping, which is like, well, you're slurping me. You can't take that seriously.
No, it's like being an online cover band for webcomics, right. I think. No? Okay,
no.
Fine.
Yeah. No.
Self bad joke burn, please.
Burn!
I do have a question though. How much do you handle your own web stuff, setup and forums?
The back end.
Do you have people and who of you do not? How much time do you spend on the back end at this point versus the actual comic creation?
Early on, it was essentially a full-time job just to keep forums and comments and various social networks moving and running and replying when you're trying to build an audience. As you get a little bit more established, people tend to step in and help and prove they're reputable and then take some of those things over for you. So, like, I deleted my forum probably 6 months ago, but when it was still really active, I had readers moderating it and managing it. I think you guys kind of have a ancillary staff of explosives too, don't you?
Well, there's four of us who do the comic, and one of us happens to be a huge nerd, Matt, and he handles all of the tech stuff, so it worked out nicely.
Yeah, none of me happens to be a huge tech nerd, so.
You do all of your own?
No, I...
backbreaking labor?
No, I said none of me happens to be a huge tech nerd.
Does so anyone
said, listen?
Who wants to interpret that for me? I don't understand what you're saying.
Well, it means I have to farm out every once in a while. And some very nice person says, hey, I know how to put websites together, and he'll do the hard work, and then I'll manage the small little bits at the end.
I had readers step up and say, your site seems to be going down a lot. We will give you a free box of your own. So I ended up with
box
a...
Box of urine? What?
Box of urine. Free box of urine, as we know we should be hoarding.
Yes!
The end times are coming. Come on!
Too late.
You can do it!
He's like, wait, shut up, I'll get it! Box of Urine is my Black Eyed Peas cover band.
Okay!
Yes!
We also would have accepted your Ozzy at San Antonio cover band.
I would not have accepted that.
Damn.
No! No!
Fuck. So Bill Watterson was mentioned, I think Gary Larson as well. Something we like to do on Paul and Storm, talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes on average, are battles.
Hypothetical battles.
In which we give you the contestants in the field of battle, and then we decide who would be the victor.
And why.
So we are pitting Gary Larson against Bill Watterson. You can clap for that.
Wait a minute, wait.
This is both, no contest.
Both fine gentlemen, but...
The field of battle is design of an airplane, a set of airplane emergency instructions.
Shit just got real, right?
So like they're like the door to get to the black box, it says pull, and then someone's just pushing.
No, like the stuff in the front seat in front of you, like how to put on your life vest and how to get out of the plane.
The safety card.
A safety card.
The safety instructions, like he said.
Well, again, so the emergency door says push, and someone's just pulling on it furiously. That's the Larson version.
Well, first, Bill Watterson will never leave his Ohio home for 20 years.
He's never seen an airplane, so advantage Larson.
I'm not entirely convinced that Bill Watterson exists. I think he's just like a sort of
Kaufman-esque joke that's been played on the world.
Yeah.
His would end with everyone being eaten by dinosaurs, so...
Which you feel would be more effective? Like, who would succeed with the mission of a safety...
Who would get more people off the plane alive?
Yeah.
Or at least make them feel better.
Okay. You would probably laugh more easily, because Watterson's pieces took a little time to think about sometimes. Larson, it was just like... Look at that dumb guy doing a dumb thing. Oh, I'm dead. So
for a slow crash,
yeah.
You would go with Watterson.
Yes. When you've got contemplative thinking time to get the surface joke, and then the onion layers start to peel, get those jokes as well.
But you don't
and,
really
then, and also to enjoy the art. There might be a nice watercolor panel.
But how much time would you have when there's Tyrannosaurus and F-16s bearing down on the plane?
That's true. That's something to think about. With Larson's, you would just get a quick laugh, and then your knees would go through the back of your head. And you'd probably die with a smile on your knees.
So, his instruction might be kind of like cow tools. You have no idea what's going on. You're like, what?
His instructions are literally, it's a cactus and two cows talking about, well, these guys are fucked. You're like, all right.
Yes!
Yeah!
Yes!
I think
cows!
I'd go with Larson. My vote goes to Larson.
Okay, one vote for Larson.
Larson.
Larson?
Larson.
Clean sweep, Gary Larson.
Just to get in plugs for other things, what besides the present company accepted, what other webcomics are out there that you read on a regular basis and would
there
recommend
to folks? There are other webcomics. Hang on, what now? I don't know, Rob, do you read the internet?
Yeah, some of my favorites are Amazing Superpowers, Three Word Phrase is great, XKCD is pretty good.
Those are good.
Pandering!
Penny Arcade! No.
No, don't even mention those assholes' names on this stage.
We love those guys. Apparently not regular podcast listeners.
I like to read questionable content, something positive, Girls with Slingshots. Not Joel's stuff.
No. You guys said all the ones that are going to get cheers, so...
There's more.
Like what? We like Saturday Morning Breakfast cereal, don't we?
Yeah.
That's one everybody likes.
That's a quality cartoon.
That's one everybody likes.
These are cartoons, right? I just hear you listing things.
Oh, you don't read eggs, bacon, cheese, milk, apparently. That's
we're
a good
just saying
one.
Random words.
That's a good
know.
One.
I like tacos and T-Rex. Yeah. Those are great.
You like a good PM
hang
in the morning.
On. Wait, slow that down. Slow that down. Tacos.
Oh, shit. Somebody get that URL.
T-Rex.net. Okay.
Butttaco.org.
Oh, man. David has another comic that he didn't mention. It's is it butt-taco.org?
Butt-taco.org.
Yeah,
it's David, can you draw us a butt taco real quick?
Yeah,
okay,
hold on.
Let me give you a nice piece of white paper.
Everyone on the podcast, listening to the podcast. This is
great for an audio medium.
Well, I'll explain it.
We'll post this on the
make,
website.
Like, a picture page's noise. It's like...
Is a draw to butt taco and the old Rudy.
I am your father.
I see the hand moving. I see a taco taking shape.
You're painting a picture.
I am. I'm so bored by all this picture. Drawing, I'm going to go urinate.
Burn!
I'll be right back.
Boredom no! burn! Boredom burn!
There will be no burning, I hope.
Okay.
So that was a recursive McMahon there.
If you go to butttaco.org, you see something like this that could either be a butt or a taco.
Yeah.
That can be a butt or a taco.
And it never updates. It's always just that.
Yes.
Do any of you, when creating your comics, let me get to a mundane question, but I'm interested in this. Do you start out pen and ink, or are you entirely online at this point?
Well, when I first started, music? We didn't have computers, so.
Whoa. Oh, Jesus.
Why would
Christ.
You do that?
Because you said mean things about the internet.
Napkin emergency.
It's good. It's like floating there, yeah. like the when. Remember when the Terminator melts in Terminator 2? It's just waiting there to reconstitute.
Thank you, Emily.
That was my wife, ladies and gentlemen. Woo!
So I don't
never
care.
Without napkins.
I don't care about the past, but currently, like when you start, is there pen and ink still at any point?
I'm 100% digital.
I have this giant screen that I draw on called a Cintiq, and I just do everything right there.
I have this as well.
Yes.
Mine's bigger than his.
It's my wife's. I stole it.
His is not only his, it belongs to his wife. Mine is larger and
I have to ask permission.
Are we talking about penises at this point now?
Well, yes. The whole time, that's all we've been talking about.
I just draw my dick. I put it's on the true. Internet. Yeah. And I described the internet once again.
Yeah, you did.
That would be so unsettling if we found out that like you used that huge screen, but you actually drew your comic with your dick. You're just like... I would understand that. How Cyanide and Happiness, I would understand that's how it's created.
Visual jokes on an audio podcast.
Hell!
He's back.
I was getting nervous without you here.
What if we had a burn and no one would let us know?
We would have gone unburned.
I didn't go unburned this week.
Yeah, our comics are copied and pasted in Sick Figures, as we established. So my process is mostly writing, which is a very delicate process. It's about...
I don't think delicate can describe any part of your comic.
Yeah, yeah.
I spend about 6 hours just writing ideas and just getting stuff down, even if it's bad. Then I'll kind of refine that into one or two ideas, and then I'll kind of spend about an hour and a half convincing myself that those ideas suck. And then about 30 minutes before the comic has to go up, I'll remember that I made one like 4 months ago, and then I'll just do that
one. Oh, that one, yeah. The one that's done. Older dick jokes.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much the Paul and Storm songwriting process.
Yeah, pretty much. Just visual instead.
Excellent. Do we have another battle for these guys by any chance?
We can do this battle a couple times. The battle is cake versus pie.
Uh-oh. I hope Paul F. Tompkins isn't here.
Ha ha ha. And the field of battle,
Jesus.
Which would you build a fort out of?
Cake.
Wow, that was
you were not even
answer.
Taking time to consider options or ramifications, David.
Cake.
What kind of cake? What if it's, are we talking Red Velvet, Angel Food?
The band, actually.
Yeah. Okay. Thank
I
you,
changed
Mr.
my
Scrimshaw.
Answer.
Thank you.
I'm not sure, that's not a burn, but I'm not sure what that is.
It's Ed Mann.
Keiko!
Given the option of building a fort out of a gelatinous filling cream tub substance, or John McCrae and his cronies, four or five human beings would make a much better fort. So, yeah. Mm. The band Cake.
So, once again, is there a united front behind Cake, it appears? And
I
no interesting...
Pie.
Just to be an outlier, you're going to choose pie.
I can't make a decision.
Well, let's poll the audience. By your applause, how many of you would build a fort out of cake? And how many of you would build a fort out of pie?
Boo.
Yes!
Boo.
Pie! Pie! Yes!
started a revolution right here in the Vista Lounge. It's going to spill out onto
the leader
deck.
All right, I want cake people on this side and pie people on this side. We're counting.
It's going to be like the fight at the end of Blazing Saddles. We're just going to spill out onto the buffet, knocking over ice sculptures, spilling into the pool, old people flying everywhere.
Pandemonium. Sea monkeys and snorks living together.
Mass hysteria. You know what? We appear to have hit a lull.
Son of a bitch.
What?
We appear to have hit a lull, and frankly, I have grown a bit tired of the three of you. I'm sure you're wonderful people, but we've gone through the battles, we've talked about your lives, and I think it's time to clear the board. We need to replace you with a professional.
Son of a bitch.
So if you would all, once again, so kindly thank our guests, Joel Watson, Rob Denblaker, and David Willis. Take a bow, gentlemen.
Hijinks ensue. Yes. Cyanide and happiness.
Yes.
Short pack coming of age.
Find them on the internet. Find them on the Seaview pool deck.
Buy their t-shirts.
Buy ours first. I said I wanted to replace them with a professional.
That's true. We didn't specify what kind of professional.
No. As a matter of fact, I meant a professional podcast guest. And there's really only one person that fits that description here on this ship. Please welcome, if you would, please, Paul F. Tompkins to the stage.
Yes!
Let's shift our...
Yeah, this is living.
How you doing, Paul?
Look, I'm great. Fellas, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks for joining us.
By being on our podcast, you now have been on every single podcast on the internet, I believe.
I think so. This finally, yours was the last one. I'm sorry it took so long. It is funny. For those who don't know, I do appear on a fair amount of podcasts in addition to doing my own podcast, and it's...
Well, go ahead and say the name of that, if you would.
That is the Pod F Tompcast. Thank you very much.
Yes!
So it is kind of... It makes sense that I, even on the high seas, could not escape appearing on a podcast.
It's pretty much the primary motivation that we had for inviting you. That's not true.
Immediately removed burn. Put it out there and pulled it back in right away.
Just testing the waters.
May I say something about the burn practice?
Please do.
I will say I blame myself and David Reese for inflicting this plague upon the ship. We started doing it. There's some confusion as to how it is done.
Yes.
Because... people are. I notice that people are putting two fingers over their lips as if to either imitate or obscure a mustache, and then doing a sort of revolving hand in the air with their opposite hand in an Arsenio sort of style.
In case anyone was unclear.
So, Arsenio.
What it is you are supposed to be sort of covering your mouth in disbelief, like, I am shocked that just happened, how badly you were just burned. But with the other hand, you are pointing in such a way as if you were trying to shake the shame off of your fingers and onto the person who just received the burn.
So shame by association.
Yes.
I do not want this.
Yes.
Okay.
It is a gasp. You are hiding a gasp, but at the same time pointing out to everyone, look at this fool who is just ridiculed in front of the entire
Which is a lot to accomplish in two gestures.
Kind of representing the duality of man.
It's beautiful in its economy.
In truth, the reason you are here is, of course, your comedy in general. In talking with Joseph Scrimshaw, it amazes me in the Paul F. Tompkins show that you do live, in the Pod F. Tomcast, and pretty much anywhere you appear live, you have, it is like watching a snake unhinge its jaw.
Oh, I can't wait to see where this one is going.
And you have an ability to free associate in a way that I don't think you possibly know where it's going. And much as the snake...
I sure don't.
...devours a buffalo, say, you are amazed that it happened.
I feel like there is a veiled fat insult in there somewhere.
I assure you there is not.
it's a thing that I started doing. I mean, you know, a little bit from just doing stand-up for so long. But when I really started doing that was doing... And there was a show on HBO that was my first job when I got to Los Angeles called Mr. Show with Bob and David.
Yes!
Sketch show with Bob Odenkirk and David Cross. And I did warm-up for the live broadcast. And so I ran out of my prepared material almost immediately, and there was a lot of time to fill, and there were a lot of people that were, a lot of the same people were coming to all the tapings. Like, I would see the same faces in the audience over and over again, so I was like, oh man, I cannot do this same material every single night. So I, that's when, just by sheer need, I got good at improv, you know, as quickly as I possibly could. And then it just became a thing that became a staple of my live shows.
Because now, to an outsider, it seems seamless. It's, of course, his mind just works that way. Was there a period when you just fell on your face doing it?
Oh, yeah. It would, that, the way it would work would be, it would go along good for a while, and then I knew it was time to stop when people weren't laughing anymore. But I was gradually able to increase the amount of time that people were laughing. And my sort of dream is I eventually would love to do an entire, you know, hour-long set that is completely unprepared and just completely improvised in the moment. And have it be good.
Sure.
I mean, I could do that right now. But I don't know if you would count the whole hour in the good column.
Is there anything besides fear that you need to prepare to do your stream of consciousness?
No, I don't think that there is. I don't think that there is. I think it's just letting your mind go, you know, and it's brought about a terrible habit, but which I have no one over which I have no control, which is the laughing at myself, which happens a lot. It happens on the podcast all the time.
Yes. And,
that was a yes and a burn on me.
Yes.
It's because then the thing is, and I can't help it.
See, there it is right there.
I don't know what I'm going to say. So I'm hearing it at the same time as the audience is hearing it. And it's like, I'm like maybe a half a second ahead. And so it comes out of my mouth and then it takes me by surprise and makes me laugh.
But it's charming though. It's punctuation. It's
better. God, I hope so, Storm.
I have I've come to know you a bit, but even before then, just watching you through your stand-up and hearing you on podcasts and such, from everything from your sense of personal style to the Paul F. Tompkins show, which has it's a variety show basically,
yes.
the one you do live. You've always struck me as a person who has a great love of sort of old-time show business. Is that something that you've always had? Is that something you grew to appreciate over time?
Well, it's the show business that I knew when I was a kid, you know, and it was, I grew up watching, when I was little, like the Donnie and Marie show and Sonny and Cher, and there were these big budget variety shows that had, you know, a lot of music, but also had these sketches that seemingly went on forever.
Like 5 to 10 minutes on average.
And it was things like the Donnie and Marie show one time had they did a Star Wars sketch.
Yeah.
I saw that show.
They had the actual C-3PO and R2-D2. And as a child, like seeing that, I treated them as if they were celebrities. Right?
They,
like,
sure.
It's really them.
Yeah.
and they wove in musical numbers into this interminable sketch where Donnie Marie played Luke and Laura from General Hospital. Played Luke and Laura from General Hospital.
Don't you?
Sometimes the free association eats the man.
Remember when they finally found the Ice Princess?
Yes. And they had to defeat the Cassadines?
Yes. Oh, Scorpio was such a hottie.
They never should have let
Rick Springfield go. We're leaving so many people under the age of 33 in the dust right now.
That was my story after school. That was my story.
My stories.
Mom, I have to watch my stories.
Hey-o!
Oh, my God.
And so you want to bring that back?
Yeah, well...
You know what? Yes, I do. I want to go even weirder with it.
And believe me, they had Kris Kristofferson playing the role of Han Solo, clearly drunk. Clearly drunk. And then to top it all off, Paul Lind as Grand Moff Tarkin.
Oh, my.
So it was insane. And so I loved the weaving of comedy and music and celebrity guests and things like that. So that was my idea of showbiz when I was a kid, and seeing people on talk shows, and it all seemed very, very glamorous. And you know, I dressed up, this is the most casual I've ever appeared in public, I think.
Yeah, you are looking a little, on the Tompkins scale, sloppy.
Yes. This is it. Look, I got my hangover wig going. I've just been drinking like an insane college student for the last three nights. There was a point where I just like said, well, this is just going to happen. Like, after the first night, I was like, I better just be careful tonight, because last night I overdid it that night too. And I was like, I guess that's how this is going.
Yes.
We've had this discussion with Jonathan. I don't remember if he said it in front of these people, but it is an amazing evolution. When we all did the first cruise, everybody's kind of anxious and you're really not quite sure. And there's all these old people and sparkly things in the store, and you don't know how you're going to adjust to this particular setting and situation. And by day three, you have evolved into a fully evolved into a terrible, awful person.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a monstrous glutton.
I didn't get a full selection of teas with my tea service at four. What the hell? Expect me to drink chamomile? Someone's getting fired.
Jumping back to your excellent sense of style, so is it from the Donnie and Marie variety era that grew from?
It was from back then when I was growing up. It was still that anybody who appeared on television, you know, if you were on the Tonight Show, if you're on the Merv Griffin Show, everyone was dressed up, you know. And so when I started stand up in 1986, it was still a common thing that comics would wear coat and tie on stage, and it was not an unusual thing. So to me, it was just like, that's what you did. So it's such an odd thing to me that's become a thing that I've become sort of known for in comedy circles.
Right, it's just the comedy uniform.
Yes.
What's the big
deal?
Yeah.
But I think it's me and Greg Proops are the only two guys at this point. And of course, the original kings of comedy, ladies and gentlemen.
Wrong demographic.
Important question. Is it a... Oh, wow.
I'm going to give you my full attention.
I see.
Sorry, Paul. I got to turn my back.
It's quite all right, Paul. I fully understand.
Storm has declared important question.
Boater or skimmer?
I like to say boater. Skimmer is a funner word. It's a more fun word.
You're not going to take the hat seriously if you're calling it a skimmer?
Oh, you're talking about hats.
This portion of the conversation is just for the hat conscious.
And I, as you know, I worked in a hat shop. That was
yes.
My first day job.
King Hat.
That's right. And and we called them boaters.
Oh, it's the official lingo.
Yes. Skimmer, I think, is a very Jeeves and Wooster way of of referring to that particular.
If I can relate third hand an anecdote from
Sorry, Storm, I have to turn my back to you. Paul has a third hand
anecdote. Be important over there. That's fine.
Again, I've heard this third hand, so I will probably embellish and get the details wrong. But Will Wheaton was playing blackjack and had his fez on, and there was several older Southern gentlemen at the table, and some wizened older folk around the semicircle, and he was distracted in a conversation, and somebody at some point piped in, "Hey, magic hat, Hit or stand.
Magic hat.
Magic hat.
I don't get that at all.
I don't know, Fez, magic he's like hat. A genie? I don't understand. It's several leaps of...
Magic hat. Wow. I stopped for a drink before dinner last night, and it was a formal night. Everybody was dressed up, lots and lots of fezzes, and so I was sitting at the bar with a couple people, and the bartender said, "Why all those hats? Why those hats?" And I said, "Oh, we didn't." And, it was actually kind of hard to explain.
Oh yeah,
to this bartender, like, where does this start?
Free association.
So then when I got done laughing at myself, we explained, to the best of our ability, the community that is on board. And then the guy said, "Oh, and they talk about Star Wars and stuff?" And I said, "Yes, there is a fair amount of that. I had these two guys, they're arguing about Yoda."
That doesn't narrow it down at all. Exactly. Who it could be.
Exactly. But finally, we were able to give him some context for that argument.
The context was pretty much just 'cause.
Yeah.
Speaking of the community and your participation in it, the first time that we met you in person, we had been following you on the Twitters and all of these places, and we asked you to be part of Wootstock.
As Dallas, our Wootstock Dallas show.
Yes, to sub for Will.
And... was that one of your early exposures to the full-on geek nerd experience?
And it seemed like you'd been thrown into the deep end of the pool with both feet. There.
Weren't sure what to expect from the audience.
Yeah, it was. I did not quite know what to expect, because I knew this was a thing. You know what I mean? I knew this was a definite thing, and this had been going on for a while, and there was a definite following that you guys all had together, and not just your individual audiences, but then the even larger audience that is the Wootstock gang, and I did not quite know what to expect, and I was kind of worried because it's like I don't know if I have anything. I didn't know.
You
if
don't
I
have
was
a nerd chunk.
Well, yeah, exactly. I didn't know if I was supposed to have one. Where it was going to be like, what is this guy talking about? It's like his own life. Who cares? So I was very. I was a little anxious about it, and then the crowd was so nice and so welcoming, and I kind of knew going into this experience that everything was going to be okay. And I was very happy to, having not been able to make it last year, to make it this year, and to do a full set, and to have it... not just the relief of, oh, good, it went well, and nobody, they didn't, shut the lights off halfway through, this is a mercy. I felt such a positivity for that show and for just the whole week, just walking around and meeting people. It's been a really wonderful experience that I'm very grateful to have had.
I have another comedy. Oh, of course, applause.
Of course, yes. Applause.
Yes.
He said, applaud, fools.
He said a nice thing about you.
Who dares not applaud?
Sincerity. Yes.
It's a variety show we're running up here. We can have a little sincerity.
Absolutely. Like the old-timey show business.
Yeah. Soft but shoe!
Yeah, Scrimshaw, if you want to do about 2 minutes about Alpo, give us a break here. That was for Paul. That was only
That's
for
right.
Paul.
Where they had to do the weird commercial.
Yeah, the weird live
in
commercial.
The body of the show.
Walk 12 feet over and do a live commercial. You, having been on a number of podcasts, on several of them, you become known for doing various characters. On the Comedy Bang Bang podcast and
too.
On your own. My family, for example, had no idea who you were when they first met you, when they were here today. And then after we got on the ship, they said, oh, you had a lovely conversation with a nice man. He had a mustache. Oh, that's Paul Octavio. He's Cake Boss. And they're like, oh, my God, Cake Boss. It was as if they had met the Pope himself. Retroactively.
Right, but he was like in sweats.
Yeah. but so my question is, has that become I don't know if problematic's the right word, but I know that can become a danger sometimes for people. Have you been able to sort of keep separation, and to what extent do you want to keep separation between, you know, people coming to see your show? Like, oh, come on, do Andrew Lloyd Webber, do Cake Boss.
A dynamite.
That sort of a, people expecting a Dance Monkey Dance, do these things we expect versus you doing your own thing. Has that all been an issue for you?
It hasn't been, I think, because the characters are always in a sort of sketch context, and I think when people see me live, they know that I'm not doing that, that it's going to be stand-up, and it's... So far, it hasn't been.
But now that we mention it...
Now people are going to make it a thing.
Yeah, please, as you walk around the ship, please just ask him to do about 2 minutes of Cake Boss. He'd be happy.
That sounded like hubris to me. I'm going to wreck this guy's world.
Dance, monkey, dance. I think it's a battle time.
I agree. We've already
metaphorical battle. It's okay, Paul.
God. I'm still learning this world.
It's a battle of the minds.
Fear.
Go ahead, Storm.
You have probably already heard the battle take place, but you are the ultimate arbiter of this battle. Therefore, we put it to you: cake versus pie. The field of battle, which would you build a fort out of, with the objective being to keep someone out of the fort, of course.
I cannot believe that this is even a question. Because obviously the answer is cake. Obviously. Obviously.
Even a light, flaky cake that no big bad wolf...
Even the flakiest of cakes, Storm. Easier for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than for someone to get through a cake fort. Pie is too gelatinous. You could move through it so easily. Even the densest of pies is no match for the fluffiest of cakes.
Oh, pie burn!
That's right.
Pie burn!
Yeah.
You have to understand the way nerds work. Let us explain. They're going to start showing up at your shows, and just randomly in the middle, they're just going to start doing that. But there's only going to be like six of them there. They're going to confuse the rest of the audience and completely throw off the momentum of your show. So you have that to look forward to over the next year.
I tell you what, as long as it's done appropriately...
Oh, that's not going to happen.
Well...
I have another battle. I've just devised it. You participate in a podcast called The Thrilling Adventure Hour.
That's correct.
Yes.
Ooh. Oh, that's so nice to hear that people have... I love doing that show.
And Frank Doyle is one of my favorite characters in the world of Sphere.
Thank you.
You also play a character called the King of Coffee.
Which is maybe my favorite thing on the planet. If you have not ever listened to the Thrilling Adventure Hour, just go find a King of Coffee segment.
And the King of Coffee is basically what it sounds like. He is the King of Coffee, and authoritatively so.
Yeah, well, they do these fake commercials.
The conceit is it's like old-time radio.
Yeah.
It's sort of a loving pastiche of old-time radio programs, including commercials.
So loving, actually.
Okay.
Because the guys, Ben Acker and Ben Blacker, who created it, did never listened to that stuff and did not even research it when they started writing that show. It was just based on what their idea of old-time radio was.
Right.
And they were pretty accurate, as it turns out. They hit that target pretty well. And so they have a fake sponsor, which is the Work Juice Corporation. And Work Juice brand coffee is the coffee that the King of Coffee shills. And it was written in a certain way where it was supposed to be like a sort of cheery mascot kind of guy. But I decided to play it as if it were a Peter O'Toole role and just yell dramatically the entire time.
I thought I detected O'Toole
in your
King of Coffee.
I'm glad that showed through.
So the battle, we are pitting the King of Coffee. Mm. He is up against the Cake Boss. And the field
both of food authorities.
Yes. And fittingly so, the field of battle is catering a wedding, who would be more successful?
Now, obviously, you would think wedding cake is so important to a wedding, it's vital,
yes,
that that the cake boss would have the advantage there. But if there's an open bar at this wedding, people need to drive home. You're going to need that coffee. I'm going to say advantage, king of coffee.
All right, there we have it, the official word.
Responsibility, yes.
That is the best idea we've had all week, is to have Scrimshaw out here. Give it up for Joseph Scrimshaw.
Thank you. Yes.
We want to thank you, Paul F. Tompkins, for coming out and joining us. We genuinely appreciate
thank
your
you.
Being here. Is
thank
there anything you wish to plug or shill to these people and to the listeners at home?
I would say the Pod F. Tompcast, give it a listen if you haven't already. And then it's totally free. And me and Eben Schletter, the brilliant Eben Schletter, do it every month. And also I will be going on a tour in May. I'm hitting about a dozen cities. And that's almost finalized. And all the info will be up on paulftompkins.com very soon.
Go there and love it. Paul F. Tompkins.
Paul F. Tompkins.
To everyone. Thank
yes.
you, Jeff.
Yes.
Thank you. And while we're at it, give it one last hand for Joseph Scrimshaw.
Thank you. Thank you.
Put it in the stand.
Man doesn't know his stagecraft. We have come to almost the end of this podcast, and we want to thank you all for coming out like you had anything else to do this early in the morning. Sleep. Okay, thank you for sacrificing your sleep for us. But we wanted to end on something special, because normally this is recorded in our respective homes over the internets. But since we are here on a ship with actual talented people, we thought that we would close with a song. I was going to ask the band back there what their name is. It's been a very early morning, as we have just described, and they have not come up with the name. Storm, you have any good ideas for what we'd like to label our band?
The Awesome Singing People.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Awesome Singing People. Marion Cole, Molly Lewis, and Vi Hart.
The mountains or down to the sea. You should always see a duck and a drake. And I wonder as I walk by what they would say if they could speak. Although I know that is an absurd thought.
Conjunction, junction, what's your function? Hooking up cars and making them function. Conjunction, junction.
Go do things.